how are we doing this morning, Wake? Hey, just real quick, I want to give a special thank you to the band. Can we just give them a round of applause? They did an incredible job week in and week out. Josh leads this team, and he does such a great job. So thank you for doing that, y'all. The king's in the room this morning, guys. And I am excited this morning specifically to talk about the topic of bullying. So we are in this series called Let's Face It. And throughout this series, we're going to face really hard topics. Last week, my friend Will came in and shared with you guys about loneliness. This week, we're talking about bullying. And next week, Austin is going to share about anxiety and depression. And maybe some of those topics are really, really heavy or hard, but they are things that I think you guys face every single week. And so, specifically, I'm excited to share this week on the topic of bullying because that is a big part of my story. And there is an immense weight and power to our words and actions. And so I'm going to start this morning with a quick story. So when I was in eighth grade, I played football, right? So I was a cornerback and a wide receiver. I didn't really like playing on offense because we never threw the ball, right? And I wasn't that great, I'll be honest. I was on a C team. Yes, C. So you got A, you got B, and you got C. That's right. Shout out to C team. And so, come on. I'm that C team wide receiver. And I go into the huddle, we're midway through the season, and the quarterback just looks around and he just says, all right, 43 killer. I'm like, whoa, that's my play, right? 43 killer, the ball's getting thrown to me, I'm ready, I go over, I line up, and I'm just taking some deep breaths. I'm like, this is my moment of glory. So I run my 7-yard route, I stop, I turn around, and the ball's just heading straight for my feet. Man, the quarterback just, shout out C-team quarterback, but he threw it just directly on the ground in front of me. So I do what any C-team wide receiver does, and I'm going to lay my life on the line to catch this pass. And I dive forward, and I reach my hands out, and that ball goes right through my hands and onto the ground. And I just basically fall on top of it. And I don't think anyone else could really tell whether I caught it or dropped it or what. And so I wasn't really prepared for what happened next, because since I never really got thrown the ball, I never really experienced the feeling that comes after the ball is either thrown your way or you catch it. And I'm just going to use a word to describe it as the pile, right? And so the pile just begins to form on top of me as people are diving in there. Coaches are like, get the ball, just yelling. And I got one kid after another on the other team as the air just leaves my lungs, right? It's just dark, uncomfortable. Someone's just yanking my foot. I don't even know what's going on. I'm like, this is terrible, and I want out of it in whatever way that I can find. Let me escape this pile. And I start with that story this morning because I think that at times, through bullying, the words of others, weight, or actions can make us feel like we are at the bottom of that pile, right? Just hopeless, out of control. Man, it is hard to breathe at times. We feel insecure. Man, there is so many, I think, similarities where, I would say that bullying was a big part of my story, and there are countless times through my middle school years that I felt like, metaphorically, I was at the bottom of the pile. And I remember specifically in sixth grade that I got bullied for being in band, right? I was called names, different things, because band nerd and whatnot. Seventh grade, I remember I was walking in the hallway, and this guy who was a lot bigger than me tripped me. And so I turn around, and what do I do, right? I'm going to trip him back. And he just turns around and slaps me across the face, right in the middle of the hallway. And I remember there was a group of girls around, and so I was like, man, I got to look like that felt like nothing. And I literally like started my eyes watering up, and I just tried to put a smile on my face. Like, that didn't bother me at all. In eighth grade, there was a guy, you know, again, C team. And so there was a guy in the football field who was about 50 pounds more than me, just a big guy, linebacker, right? And he made it his goal and mission that every time we stepped onto the field together, that he was going to lay me out, right? He was going to put me in the dirt, just absolutely throw this guy who probably weighed 60 pounds just across the field. And that happened constantly, day in and day out. In ninth grade, I was called names for being small, for being pale. I didn't make the baseball team, like all these things, right? I could go on and on and on, story after story. And so I think maybe some of you guys in this room could relate to some of those things, whether it's verbal, physical, or social, any kinds of those bullyings that make us feel less than others. And so as we talk about the topic of bullying today, I want to answer three specific questions. And those three questions are this: what is bullying? Why do people bully? And how do I respond to bullying? So we're going to start with what is bullying. I kind of have given you guys a few examples, but maybe not everyone in here can relate. When I throw that word bullying up on the screen, you're like, oh, I've heard of it. I see it in movies, but maybe I don't experience it personally. And so to define it, I just want to say that bullying is any action with the intention to intimidate or cause harm to another person. Right? Any action with the intention to intimidate or cause harm to other people. And you know, we can get bullied for our gender, our ethnicity, our size, the clothes, the way we look, the beliefs, the things we're a part of, the things we're not a part of. Again, the list goes on and on. We can be bullied for so many things. And there are different types of bullying, right? I said verbal, physical, and social, whether it's people using words to tear us down, gossip, physical, being pushed, slapped, hit, kick. Again, man, bullying is so, I think, vast in the ways that we can experience and feel it. And again, feel like we are at the bottom of that pile. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's a long list, right? As Paul's saying, man, there are people who, as the end times draw near and this world continues to grow in its brokenness and our separation from God, man, the world we live in is broken. And there might be some of those words on there that you're like, yeah, I know someone who's ungrateful. I know someone who doesn't respond well to their parents. I know someone who has no self-control. They're brutal. I experience that daily, right? You might be sitting there and saying, I get that. And so I would go so far as to say that everyone in this room, if you've not personally either, you know, experienced it, but almost if not everyone in this room has either been on the receiving or giving end of bullying, right? And maybe not even intentionally, but either through our jokes, our words, our actions can make someone feel less than. And so for me, again, another story. When I was in fifth grade, I remember we were in the middle of a Christmas party. The teacher leaves the room, right? I'm in fifth grade, and the teacher leaves the room for a little bit, and this kid, I forget exactly the details, but we started making some jokes across each other, right? And thought they were kind of funny, but I said something that made him upset, and he went over and picked me up and put me in a trash can. I mean, the classic, like, you know, the classic movie of just the guy, like, putting the kid in the locker or the trash can. That was me, and that's kind of funny, but in the moment, right, like, I felt incredibly insecure, and I felt this shame and lack of control that I was just so sad that the whole entire class is staring at me, right, and I'm just standing in this trash can. But it's memories and moments like that that I think have, in a lot of ways, marked my life, because those experiences and the shame that you feel, you carry those things with you, right? And so as we go on to the second question of why do people bully, I want to kind of talk about that of, man, we carry a lot of those hurts with us at times. And so you heard, obviously, example and stories of how bullying is a part of my life. But I would also tell you, I would be wrong to stand up here and say, man, I got bullied in all these ways, but I never bullied anyone else, because I, in fact, did. And you might also wonder, man, Jonathan, if bullying is such a hard part of your story, why in the world would you go and do that same thing to other people? But I'll tell you that guy on the football field, right, who was 50 pounds more than me, that just always tried to lay me out, he made me feel weak, insecure, out of control. And I would take those insecurities, and because of my lack of control and that fed those insecurities, I wanted to go and take those and gain that control back. And the way that I did that was making other people feel the exact same way that I felt, right? Because if I'm really sad and I'm really hurt, then the only way I can really heal from that, what I believed was to make someone else feel that way, because if someone's going to do that to me, then I'm just going to get control back by making someone else feel that way. I've heard it said that whatever pain is not transformed is transferred, right? Like, imagine a cup, right? Someone fills up a cup of just anger or pain that we feel, and then I got to do something with that. And so I'm just going to start pouring it into other relationships and other places, whether it's with my parents when I come home from school, whether it's with other students or other people that we interact with. Man, I have this pain and this weight that I just can't get rid of. And so if I don't take that to the Lord and he transforms it, which he can, and I want to talk about that in a second, I'm just going to transfer it on to someone else. And so Specifically, I want to talk about the ways that, man, God can transform our pain. So specifically, Psalm 34:18 says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He's close to the brokenhearted. I ask you guys this morning, do you truly believe that God can transform your pain or those feelings that you're having of shame, guilt, lack of control? Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I didn't believe that in middle school because I took all my pain and my shame and those examples and I just bottled them in. And I looked for other outlets and other people to be able to pour that out on. But when we put our hope and trust in Christ with our brokenness and our sin and our shame, he heals those because he's perfect and holy, right? And we talk about that week in and week out here because I think it's truly the most important thing to be able to deal with the weight and the brokenness of this world is to take those things to Christ and to have a relationship with him because he heals the brokenhearted. So guys, the answer to that question, why do people bully? It's because hurt people, right? We're all broken. And the reality is that we're all hurting in some form or way. And so because hurt people, this creates a cycle, right? And so there's a lot of hurting on this cycle, but I want to point this out to you guys. And so the cycle of hurt kind of starts, right, with number one there. It says hurting others is just normal. It's a reality that we live in. It's part of our schools and the relationships we have with each other. We're broken and insecure. And so I'm just going to, for whatever reason, hurt someone else, right? And so then I'm on the receiving end. I kind of get caught in the crossfires. And so I would get hurt by someone. And then what do? Because I have a lack of control and insecurity, I'm going to go and take that and I'm going to put it right on someone else. I'm going to get rid of it in whatever way I know how, and so I'm going to hurt someone else. And then what does that person do? They hurt someone else. And again, it just goes in a circle where we continually hurt one another, and it creates that culture of hurt. And I'll tell you guys that, again, the world is incredibly broken. And that cycle filters on and on and on and through relationship in our schools. And so that leaves us with a problem, right? How do I respond when I'm hurt? How do I respond to bullying? And some advice I got. So again, in sixth grade, I got tons of stories here. We're going to keep them coming. But in sixth grade, I'm riding the bus home from school, right? And I sit in the back of the bus and I'm kind of chilling back there. I kind of minding my own business. I'm in sixth grade. I'm still kind of learning the bus scene a little bit. You know, where do you sit? Do we have assigned seats? Are they not actually assigned seats? You know, how does all that work? And so I'm sitting on the back, and this guy starts picking on me. He starts, like, messing with my hair, pulling it, all these different things. And I'm like, I'm going to get him to stop, right? So I tell him, I'm like, the right thing to do, I'm just going to tell him to stop. He doesn't. All right, so I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to make him stop, right? I'm going to turn, and I walk around to the back of the bus, and I'm like, hey. Like, I kind of shove him, and I'm like, you need to stop picking on me. And pretty quickly, that story ends with me laying down on the bottom of the bus, and he's got his feet on top of me, right? And I remember going back to my seat there after he let me up, and I was just so angry and frustrated. And I'm like, man, what in the world do I do? And three different students leaned over to me, and they were like, hey, you go back there, and you punch him in the face. Like, go back there, and you just hit him, right? And some of you might be like, oh, that, yeah, you should have done that. You should have gotten more physical or violent. And it's like, what a terrible, terrible idea, and what terrible advice. And praise God that I did not go back there and punch him in the face. But I did feel this inner tension, right, of I know the right answers. I know that I'm raised in the church. I know I'm supposed to be a good kid, but I have all this anger and hurt. And so what do I do with it? And again, I'll tell you, I didn't take those things to the Lord. And I just bottled them up, and it fed those insecurities and created a cycle even in me of trying to process and deal with my own pain and shame. So the first thing I'd tell you is to look behind the bully, right? If I said we're all hurt and we all have anger and sadness and frustration, the best that you can do in those moments to realize that that person is made in the image of God, right? They are someone created by God in his image, who he loves. Even no matter the way they're making you feel, no matter the actions that they're taking against you, And if we don't stop and realize that there is a story behind the person that is hurting us, then we have no ability to love them. Some statistics that I looked up from students who are about y'all's age, about 4 in 10 children are born to single moms. Today, 1 in 6 children is being raised without a father. Between 20 and 30% of students report symptoms of depression. It's estimated that about 1 in 7 children in the last year have experienced abuse or neglect. 1 in 7. Almost 9% of high school students have attempted to take their life in the past year. Man, that is sad. And we live in a broken world where everyone is hurting. But if we don't choose to show love, if the people who are in this room, right, like we are the ones to claim that we have the hope of Jesus Christ, that I know the Savior of the world. I know the person that has forgiven me and saved me from all my sins. But if we're not the ones to stop and show love to those people, then who will? Right? Because if those people have brokenness and hurt and pain, but they don't know the hope of Christ, and that's exactly how I would expect them to respond, is by hurting others and lashing out. So the only way to stop that cycle is love, right? And so you have to choose to love them. You have to choose to love them. It's our job as believers to stop that cycle, right? And so we have another picture up there where the world is broken, right? Everyone is hurting in some way, shape, or form. And so you, again, get caught in the crossfires, and you get hurt. But then you have a choice to make whether you go and you take and transfer that hurt onto someone else, or you genuinely bring it before the Lord and you choose to show them love despite their brokenness, despite the feelings of frustration or anger or the shame you feel. 1 John 4:18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so I'm here to tell you guys the only solution to bullying is love. Because love is the exact opposite of bullying. It's the exact opposite of fear. And perfect love, love from Christ, drives out that fear from our hearts and the lives of others. And you might think, man, I still have this pain and this hurt, and so how am I supposed to just show love to someone else when I feel that weight of insecurity on me? And I remember visiting a group last year, a sixth grade small group, right? And I go, I show up, and there's a big fight in the middle of this small group. And these students start calling each other names, and they kind of get a little physical with each other, so we separate them. And I go over, and I start talking to this one student who's a part of it, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, bro, like, that's not how you respond. Here are the steps you could have taken. You could have gone and talked to a leader. You could have asked him to stop. You could have given him all these practical things. And I remember he just looked at me and he was just like, man, that's just not how it works. I get it. I hear all the things you're saying, but that's just not how it works. And to some degree, like, he's right. It's not, right? It's so much harder than me just saying, hey, go and tell and share with the leader when you're hurting, or someone else is picking on you, or hey, go and tell your parents, or confront that bully, or show them love. It is so much harder than just saying a lot of these words and again, giving a message on bullying. But I think that's why we have to look to Christ's example, because there are people who have been hurt and bullied, but specifically, Christ has been hurt and bullied more than anyone in this room. Right? He was bullied to the point where he died on a cross. And so when we wrestle with that hurt and shame and anxiety, and it's like, man, it's just not that simple. You're right. But we've been given someone who loves and cares for us, and an example that he set for us. 1 Peter 2:22 and 23 says this, "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly." He trusted God, right? When others hurled insults at him, when that guy hit Jonathan on the football field time and time again, And I wanted to get up and respond and either lash out at him or someone else. Man, Jesus never did that. There was no deceit and no sin found in his mouth. And so he empathizes and he understands. You have someone and the opportunity to have a personal relationship with someone that truly empathizes and understands with the pain and hurt that you can feel on a daily basis. I'm going to keep going. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, hurt in the same ways that we have been. Yet he did not sin." And praise God for that, right? Praise God for the cross, and praise God for Romans 5:8 that says, "God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Regardless of our brokenness, regardless of the world's brokenness and the people that hurt us, Christ died for us. And so I ask you that question. And the next time that you're hurt, are you going to choose to show Christ's love to that person? Not out of your own strength, not out of just saying, "I'm just going to swallow the hurt and the pain, but I know that I have someone that can heal me in my hurt and my pain." Psalm 34:18 says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So you have an opportunity to choose to show love to someone, even when they hurt you, and to take that to the Lord. And guys, I'll be honest. This is a heavy topic, right? A heavy message. The series is called "Let's Face It." Let's face the hard things that go on in the daily lives of middle schoolers. But it's one thing to share a message and to talk about bullying, and again, similarly for me and all the experiences I had, and it's a totally another experience and thing to go and translate on that to the way that we love other people. So it's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness for you to go and genuinely bring your hurt before your leaders, to take the shame or the insecurities you feel and share them with others. To confess that sin, to confess those hurts, or even not necessarily sin of your own, but things that other people have hurt you with. And so I would encourage and beg of you today, do not bottle those things up inside and deal with them on your own. Because that's a lot of my story and what I did. And I'll tell you, I got to high school and I got to college, and even today I still can carry some of those same insecurities along with me. But I will also tell you that when I got to college and I realized the truth of being able to bring my shame and my hurt before Christ and the way that he healed me, I saw so much freedom from it. Because John 10:10 says that I have come that you may have life and life to the full. And so Jesus is offering you life to the full if you would accept him into your heart, have a relationship with him, and genuinely take before him your hurts, your habits, and your hangups. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, I am grateful that you love us so much, that you sent a son who was perfect, that when he was reviled and that when other people insulted him, that he never did that back, because he loved them and cared for them so much. And so we can take, regardless of the circumstance of the situation, regardless of whether it's pain that we've inflicted on other people, that you are a God who loves us despite that. That you care for us and our brokenness. And so, Lord, I pray that the resounding message this morning that students would hear is that you love and care them and you can heal them in their brokenness. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the room this morning that doesn't really understand what that means or doesn't have a personal relationship with you, that they would have a conversation with a leader in this room this morning, because it is the most important thing in our lives. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.